This is episode 364 of JumbleThink.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to JumbleThink, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning their dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. Our guest on today's show is Josh Carey. More about Josh in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed to JumbleThink, now's the time to do it. Head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts, search for JumbleThink, and click subscribe. To make it even easier, if you head on over to JumbleThink.com, you'll find links to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, and more. So head on over and subscribe to the show. Now let's join today's conversation. Hey there, friends. Welcome to JumbleThink. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host, and we are so excited about today's guest. His name is Josh Carey. He's a good friend of ours. He is the co-founder of Podmax. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you've probably caught one of our interviews from Podmax, which is an event that matches up really great entrepreneurs with podcasters like me. Now, he's not only the co-founder of Podmax, but he's also the host of the podcast, The Hidden Entrepreneur Show, and also On Air Brands Live. He is a really great guy who wants to help people go from being a hidden person to really knowing who they are and stepping out into the dreams and identity that they're created to live. In today's show, we're going to be talking about a lot of fun entrepreneurial things, about content creation, and also the world of podcasting. And I am so excited to have him on. It's been a long time coming. So let's go ahead and join the conversation with today's guest, Josh Carey. Our guest today is Josh Carey, who has become a friend, which is awesome. We met a year and a half ago at an event in New York City at this crazy comedy club on the Upper West Side of Manhattan called Stand Up New York. And we met at an event there around podcasting. And I'm just super excited to have you on the show. It's been way too long, so I'm glad to get you on here.
Thank you so much, Michael. I'm so glad you called me a friend, because we are not just online friends, as you've said. We really have developed a friendship, and we originally started crossing paths, as you've mentioned, in the professional podcast industry space, and we kept appearing at the same events, and it's like, oh, you, how's it going? And then wouldn't you agree? We've had many long, deep, just conversations in and around life and the business, and they're always good. So really cool to further the relationship as a guest on this show.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Well, that's very kind of you. I think most of the time you're just being kind to listen to me babble. So it will be tables turned here where I get to listen to you more, which is a benefit.
Well, thank you. I guess I do listen to you babble in the most respectful way, but I've always enjoyed that and appreciated that, which is probably why I'm a show host myself.
Yeah.
And I've always had that air of curiosity that as a child, I know we're going to go down the insecure road, but as a child, people would make me feel insecure. You ask too many questions, kid. I'm like, oh, but I just want to know. And then, you know.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Well, and to me, it's interesting. You mentioned here, you know, we keep on bumping into each other, and now I've been able to be a part of your events at Podmax, which super cool, fun event. You guys are doing really something special and unique there. I find that the space, especially that we specifically play in the podcast spaces, it's much smaller than what you would imagine. And so as going through shows that you were guests on, I know Sean Douglas, you were on his show, and other people have been on your show. And I'm like, how do we know so many of the same people? It is very weird how small the pool we swim in actually is.
And the more you look into that, don't they say that you will find that in any industry, which is kind of refreshing. It's like the more that you indulge and engage into it, the more you see the same players. And I take that as a good sign, like, oh, here we all are. And what I love about it, I was actually thinking about this recently. I spent time in the acting and film career world and in the comedy world. And, you know, whether you're in that or not, you always hear about comics, when they're being interviewed, they're like, oh, me and Sandler, we were coming up together.
Yes.
Right. And then you find out like all these people who were just grinding and come. So I feel like that they're, you know, we're in that now. Like yeah. we can look and we know who we're side by side with and who's sort of on the same path. And it's refreshing.
We just need to get Joe Rogan in our circle. That's, you know, and then we need the Spotify paycheck with that too, I think.
Yes, that paycheck. All in due time,
yes.
Woodward. All in due time.
Well, I want to dive into your story. The more I talk to you over the last couple of years, the more I'm like, well, it seems like every time I sit down with you, you mention something, I'm like, where did that come from? Like the acting and comedy thing. And then, of course, you were in kind of the web space for a while, too. And every time I talk, it seems like there's another layer of Josh Carey that I'm just like, I thought I knew your story and I don't. So I'm interested to see what new revelation comes out today. I want to start out with, you know, you mentioned that at 19, you change your name. So this fascinates me because a lot of actors do that because they need a stage name that hasn't been used and differentiates them and everything like that. Are you still using that stage name or are you using your born name?
Carey, spelled C-A-R-Y, is in fact not my birth name. That is still my, for lack of a better, my stage name. But because I am not technically on the stage or pursuing the acting and film career in its traditional sense, although I like to say and think that what I've gravitated towards this, you know, the being a show host and doing videos and teaching and just finding this version of the stage, I get the outlet for now. And I do visualize myself getting back to the traditional sense when it's more appropriate on stage or in movies or that sort of a thing. So I did change my name at 19 and I've stuck with it today just because it works. It's become me. The more you use it, the more it is you and your life. So I changed it at 19 to, it's not arbitrary. Carey, C-A-R-Y, is actually my father's middle name. And thankfully, he's still with us today. He's certainly my biggest fan and supporter. So back then, I had a very similar relationship, feeling very close with him. So I felt that not only did the name seem to work, it was short, it was sweet, it was, you know, you got like the Cary Grant deal. So I'm like, old Hollywood, it works. It's been used. It's been validated. And I'm like, Josh Carey. Okay, that seems to work. And again, it's just been an homage to him for so long.
Yeah.
And it took my birth name, which was much longer, and some might say a little Jewish sounding. I could say that because I'm Jewish, right? So. But it was, and I'm like, oh, I don't have to go down the road with this last name. But if I'm being honest, it was probably because I was already insecure. I was already seeking approval.
Yeah.
And I probably wanted to try to redefine myself.
Okay.
You know, if I just strip myself of this identity, this name, and come to the table, now I have a fresh start. But guess what? I just developed all the antics and quirks and insecurities that were with me with my original last name. Now I just had this new one as a cover up. Right now I'm hiding.
Mm-hmm.
There's that word behind my last name. So I took it, and back in the day, I was able to get cell phones in the name, credit cards in the name, really established. The more you use it, the more it becomes. And I just continued to use it for business because I felt it would work.
I think back to when we think of immigrants coming to the States, the change of identity was a big portion of that journey. They come through Ellis Island, maybe, and their name had been anglicized or changed. Do you feel like, you know, we're talking about insecurity here, and we're going to dive deeper into what that looks like, but do you feel like there was a little bit of shame about that heritage, or do you feel like that you felt like people looked at you because you had a Jewish last name differently? Did you feel like you wanted to get out from underneath that name for some specific reason? Or was it simply, you know what, I want to go create this persona so that I can kind of hide from those insecurities?
There was a lot of shame, but it was not shame from or of being Jewish. I grew up in a very Jewish town, and a lot of my friends were Jewish. So that I wasn't an outcast on that front. Yeah. That wasn't the insecurity.
Yeah.
But the insecurity was I feel shame and embarrassment and insecurity around who I am. Mm. And my last name is identifying me as that person. So it just, if I can strip that, start anew, enter the world fresh and leave that name behind, because that name is that person, hopefully this will work out. And again, it didn't work out because I didn't have the strength or the tools or the life experience at that point to really make the changes I needed. So I just developed the same insecurities as Carrie as I did prior.
I think that that's interesting, because so many people think I can just reimage myself. I can create, again, that persona. And I was talking to a guest yesterday. I was interviewing him for the show, and we were talking about this question of authenticity versus persona. I asked it actually to James Altucher in New York City at one of Stand Up New York's events. And I actually don't think his answer was great. I don't remember what it was. I'd have to go back and listen to it again. But, you know, we talk about authenticity in culture. We talk about creating a persona as a podcaster or as a vlogger or something like that. And I don't feel like the two can come together. And it feels like that change of identity for you is the same kind of tension. You go in and say, hey, I'm going to change my name. I'm going to get a fresh start. I'm going to create this new persona. It's going to solve all of my problems. And yet the underlying insecurities were still there. That's the problem with our culture. We want to treat symptoms instead of saying, hey, I really need to deal with this core thing, which in your case was the insecurity itself. So walk us through. You change your name, you go into acting, you go into filmmaking, you do stand up, and you think, hey, if I just do this and create this new face, this public persona, all my issues are going to go away. But you have to face this reality that it doesn't. You're still insecure. You're still struggling with the same issues. How did that kind of unfold? How did that look for you in your life?
Well, I got bit by the acting bug in eighth grade, and miraculously, I was cast as the comic relief then, which is the character responsible for cutting the tension, making the audience laugh, and I did that through our school play, bumbling and bouncing around like a fool on stage and getting people to laugh at me, literally at me. And that was the drug. And I said, this is so amazing. They're giving me this positive attention. I think that this is my out, right? Mm. This is going to solve all of my problems. If I can get the right people or enough people to continue to applaud me, it will then give me that permission. It will give me that ability to come to the table with strength, with showing my power, my talent, my skill and ability that I was so darn scared and fearful to reveal. You know why? Because I felt that if I dare come to the table presenting something of value and, my goodness, get a, hey man, good job. Look at you. Great deal. Congratulations. Well done. Proud of you. Nah, those weren't for me. So I avoided that. And I felt that if I did something of value or worth, it would shine a light on your insecurities, make you feel insecure about what I'm presenting because you may not be living up to your potential, and you would retaliate against me and say, excuse me, who do you think you are? Get out of here with that. And that in my mind would have crushed me. Mm. And I didn't have the confidence to stand up or stick up for myself. So I avoided the whole thing. So I would go out, go on stage and seek the approval of somebody, the right person to make me feel whole and complete again, to say, you have what it takes. Come out with it. Show the world. And that doesn't happen because that's not what I was presenting.
Right.
So I didn't give anybody that chance. So nobody did it, but I desperately wanted it. That's where I thought it was going to come from, outside. And every day I would go back to my house or my apartment and feel just as angry, lost, depressed, lonely, crying in the corner and needing that little drug again just to operate.
So what, okay, you know, insecurity can manifest in so many different ways. Was this, you know, you mentioned here about almost like a fear of rejection, and almost like not the rejection of like, hey, you did a bad job, but the rejection of we don't like you because you have success, almost to an extent. I think that insecurity does manifest itself in so many different ways. You know, for me, that insecurity often is, oh, I'm going to prove myself based on my experience. Look who I've talked to. Look who I've had on the show. Or look at all that I've done. Oh, I've worked on projects for X, Y, and Z company, or I've done this. And I feel like it's like that, hey, I'm going to prove myself to you. Because of that, you're going to then accept me. So insecurity can unfold itself that way. It can also be this fear of rejection. And so sometimes that manifests as like, I'm going to reject you before you can reject me. It can look so differently. And then other times it can be self-sabotaging and saying, I'm going to set myself up for failure because I don't, if I know that I'm going to fail, and if I do get that outcome, then I'm not disappointed that I didn't have the success. And so that insecurity unfolds that way. And sometimes it comes from actual real pain, real hurt, real rejection, real woundings. For you, do you think that there was something that triggered this insecurity? And then from that, did it manifest in ways that were unexpected for you, that you couldn't overcome by that persona?
Well, I'm the youngest of three sons. Right. So I have two older brothers, 6 years older and 9 years older than me. So when I was born, they already had their thing established. So I felt a distance there. I always say that my mom wanted a daughter that she never got. And, you know, after the first son, okay, let's hold out hope. The second, oh my gosh, what's happening here? Great. I got two out of the way. Now the third must be the daughter. Yeah. And then it's me. So with that, I always felt some sort of, rejection and insecurity, but also I accepted and took on the label of the youngest, the baby, the child, so I allowed that to really become who I stood for. And I'm like, well, if that's the label I have, or the label I felt and the label I certainly wore and gave myself, I have to live up to that. So I am the baby of the family. And then, you know, when you're trying to make it as an adult and a man, and dare I say the other M word, mature person, it's tough because I've identified so deeply with being the baby, being the child, of the family, that I couldn't bring myself, for all these reasons we're tying together, to be successful and say, hey, look at me, look what I've accomplished. Because I assumed there wasn't that expectation.
Now, you've gone on from being in the acting space to in the tech space, into the speaking and coaching space, into the podcasting space. And some of those elements still tie together. Some of those things you're still doing. Has that insecurity followed you through all of those things? And then how did you figure out, hey, wait, there's something here that I need to actually, I can't just cover this up. There's not a Band-Aid for this. I've got to deal with it. How did you get to that point? And where in this journey did you kind of get to that, I need to make a change here?
So I spent 15 years pursuing this acting and film career, and looking back on it, a lot of great credits, very proud of it, right? Some really exciting times, all a learning experience. And then in the late 90s, like many of us, I discovered the internet, and I felt, oh my goodness, here's another way that I could perhaps redefine myself. I could hide behind the screen, the word again, hide, and just show what I want to show. This is fantastic because now I don't have to be on stage. Now I don't have to expose so much of myself. I can tinker and decide what I want to reveal through the online persona, who I am, right? Yeah. It gave me so much hope there. So I looked for community and I started building websites, but you know, we attract who we are and what we focus on.
Yeah.
So I started building websites. I started trying to gather community, but it was never the right people. It never made me feel whole because still seeking that approval through this identity. And then I built a digital marketing agency that I spent 10 years running, and it kept the lights on.
Yeah, I want to apologize for that. Digital marketing is, I get it. I'm there. It's a painful place, no matter how healthy you are as a person.
It is, especially when you're attracting the very people that you say you don't want in your life. My gosh, it was toxic because I was, right? There's full responsibility. Looking back in retrospect, until then, I'm like, why do I keep attracting these people? Why are they clients? And nobody values my product. And look how worthy this is, but nobody's giving it the value. You know, it's easy to see why, because mm-hmm. I didn't value myself.
Right.
So I would just keep attracting these toxic clients and relationships over and over in that marketing company of mine. Later on in that process, as is the case today, I have two adoring children that are a big part of my switch and my why and everything that I do and have accomplished to date. I have a 7-year-old daughter, a 5-year-old son. Early on, I realized, aha, I get what's happening here. I'm the child in this circle.
Wow.
And I got work to do here. Yeah. And it just, you know, flicked a light that I got. I'm like, okay, I knew that I've always wanted to be a father. I thought I might even enjoy this. Dare I say, I might be good at this role, and I cannot screw it up right now. I mean, yeah. I got two incredible children looking at me. They're not the problem. I am. Let me take some time to sort of get things right. And that's the path that I began to take.
How much of this struggle of insecurity was a fear of vulnerability, of being really, and you know, we say vulnerability and we think, oh, Josh being open with me, but almost a vulnerability to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It takes what it takes, and what it took was when I said, you know what, I'm in this. I have to be honest with myself, mm-hmm. and I have to take the responsibility and look inward and see why I am this way. And if I'm going to make any sort of change that I've always said I wanted to, I always knew what I was capable of doing. I just couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting it and putting my best self forward. I said, I gotta assess here with mm-hmm. full honesty, what I'm doing, what habits, patterns, beliefs, throughout the day, from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep, everything in between, some obvious bad habits, should probably stop doing that every single night, and then just figure out what I'm doing and replace one at a time with a slightly better serving habit or pattern. And slowly but surely that compounds on itself. And I said, I want to first and foremost be the person and the father I can for my children. That makes great sense because the time is now. I'm not going to continue to live and have them watch me seeking approval. And then that's how they turn. Not a good vision for mm-hmm. my future with my children.
Yeah.
And then I just said, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off with this digital marketing agency. I can't continue to, I can't salvage this. I have to go in a different road, take some time for myself, make no more excuses, do the best I can, start making changes. And I just left that behind. And I said, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. And I took a few months to figure it out. I wound up creating the brand, The Hidden Entrepreneur, which made a whole host of sense, gave me accountability and kept me in integrity. Because if I'm the hidden entrepreneur now, which is, you know, the basis is no longer being hidden behind fear and stepping forward in full courage, I have to.
Yeah.
And then I thought a podcast would be a great segue into that path. And here we are.
As we pivot towards the end of the first segment, we're going to leave this conversation as we go into the second segment. So I want to take a moment, though. And as a person that's been there, you've been there. Somebody who's listening right now and they're saying, hey, I struggle with this. I feel like I'm not seen. I feel like I'm hiding. I feel insecure in my role. They may be the best at what they do, but they still feel like they don't fit in. What would be a couple of things you would tell them right now? Here are some steps you can take today and tomorrow and the next day to begin the journey of finding that freedom of authenticity and identity.
Well, like me, my entire life, I knew exactly what I was capable of, mm-hmm. whether it was on the forefront of my mind or on the side or subconscious or whatever. I knew that I was capable of so much more. I was just scared to admit it and certainly scared to implement it. I firmly believe that every single one of us is the exact same way. We know what not only we're capable of, but we know what we should be doing. We know what we want to be doing. We know what we could be doing and what we must be doing. So for the person listening that could relate to some part of this, you have to first identify really what do you want, short term, long term, medium term, right? What is that goal? What are you resisting? What are you making an excuse for? What do you want to be doing? And we know the answer. Then you have to be so honest with yourself and say, okay, really, 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 what does this come down to? Why am I not taking the steps? Yes, I'm scared out of my mind. We're all scared out of our mind, no matter where we are in our journey. That's called uncomfortability, right? Which suggests you are onto something good. So you have to take the honest look. First, identify what in the world you want, small, medium, or large goal, whatever. You know what you should and want to be doing right now. Ask yourself, sit with yourself, write it out, figure it out. Why aren't I? What am I so scared of? Who am I scared of upsetting or getting the attention of? Or what am I really scared of happening? You have no other choice but to identify what that is so you can bring it to light. So you can then start attracting the one person on your team in your corner to gather, to attract and say, help me with this. That's what I did. I found one mentor in the very beginning of the hidden entrepreneur journey. And that alone gave me the strength to know, you know what? If anybody laughs at me or retaliates or gives me a hard time, I have somebody in my circle that I value. And you need that. So those are some of the steps you have to start taking honestly for yourself.
For you personally, how do you find purpose in what you do?
Well, it all comes down to... Okay. So it started with the glaring in the face of my two children, mm-hmm. right? Knowing that I can't be the child here. This is just embarrassing. I'm better than this. And that was the wake up call. I'm like, okay, great. Got it. Universe understood. I'm going to adjust this.
Yeah.
So much of what I do is in regards to being the best I can in their eyes.
Yeah.
So we are all a mirror for each other. What you see me doing shows you what's possible and vice versa. And then that just continues to build on itself. What I've been able to do is answer what I call the ultimate question. And it's simply, how would you like to be remembered?
Mm-hmm.
And by answering that question, I've been able to tap into a release of concern, meaning when I sit and answer that question for myself and really embrace it, what that does is it relieves you of fearing what we all do, which is, what are people going to think? How is it going to look? Am I going to look foolish?
Mm-hmm.
But answering this question and really tapping in and dialing into that answer allows you to know that every action you take does not matter to the outside world because you've given it the validation that, okay, the action I'm going to take, I don't need the buy-in of everybody who might be paying attention.
Yeah.
So I don't have to say, does anybody mind if I send this email? Because you know that it's tied into your answer and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And that just builds on itself.
What's one challenge you're currently working to overcome?
Reaching the next level of success.
Okay.
And like I said, there's always a new level. As they say, even the ones who make their first million, they're now reaching for their second and third. And the ones who make 100 million, there's an uncomfortability, a next level. It's not easier for them to hit the 200 or 500 million mark. There's still something that as humans, we're going to be challenged. So it's not being thrown for a loop. Whenever I feel, I was just meditating and journaling on that this very morning. More of what I do. I've created a lot of habits and meditation and journaling in the morning are two of those. And this very morning I was saying, okay, I'm feeling uncomfortable And it's manifesting itself because I used to bite my nails consistently. That was, you know, part of a terrible habit of mine. I realized that it was psychologically, it was probably because
it was a coping mechanism. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt so insecure and I'm like, oh, look how disgusting I am and shameful and look at these nails and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Right. When I started implementing better habits, I never had to physically think I need to now stop biting my nails. It was an after effect. It just, I had no more desire to bite my nails when other things were in place. But these days, over the past few weeks, I realized that I'm starting to bite my nails again. Not good. So I consciously realized, okay, this is fantastic. This is a great signal.
Yeah.
Because now I am challenged with another level of success that I have to power through.
So what's that next level of success look like? What is the next goal that you're trying to reach? I guess the way we typically would end this segment is asking this, and maybe this is a good way to wrap that question. What's the next big dream, idea, or goal that you have?
It's through PodMax.
Okay.
And it's working on that. So as you know, you've been a part of a few of them already. At least we've had to create what was our live event into a virtual event. And my goodness, we didn't know how it was going to go, but thankfully it works just as well on some levels, even better online. So to reach the next level of success means that we are going to attract people in great droves to the PodMax events, which is a big undertaking. So that next level is onboarding, so to speak, a great deal of people into our ecosystem of events and training.
Super cool. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back with Josh, we're going to dive into what PodMax and On-Air Brands actually is and what he's creating over at Hidden Entrepreneur. We'll be right back to continue the conversation. . 2020 has been a crazy year, and my hope is that it has challenged you to rethink what you value and the things you want to accomplish. You have the possibility of creating a new future, to see those dreams unlocked, and to step into the fullness of those dreams. Here at JumboThink, we wanted to help, and that's why we released a guide called The Dreamer's Guide to Micro Experiments. Best of all, it's free. Using micro experiments can be a way to fast track those dreams and step into the fullness of them quickly. All you have to do to get this free guide is head on over to jumblethink.com and use that little pop-up to sign up for that guide. Again, it's completely free. So head on over to jumblethink.com, get that dreamer's guide to micro experiments, and start the process of turning those dreams, those ideas into reality. Now let's rejoin today's conversation with Josh Carey. We are back with our good friend, Josh Carey. Before we dive into the segment, significant question. How can people find and connect with you and all that you and your team is creating?
My website, joshcarey.com, is really the fork in the road. It allows you to see everything that I have my hands in. You can certainly watch and listen to my podcast episodes. You can click through to visit PodMax and see what all that's about. And you can click and visit the social network you most enjoy to visit me there.
Now, you are creating a lot of really cool things. We've talked about Hidden Entrepreneur, which we're going to go a little bit deeper into. We've hit on-air brands and PodMax, but a lot of people are going to be listening and they're still going to be like, what are these things? Let's kick it off with Hidden Entrepreneur. What is the DNA of what you're creating there?
So the Hidden Entrepreneur was created in early 2018.
Okay.
When I ripped the Band-Aid off of that digital marketing agency, 10 plus years there. And I said, you know what? This is toxic. This is like a bad relationship that I must get out of. It's my responsibility to do so. Took some time, created the brand Hidden Entrepreneur, made sense, figured it out, then went on to create the Hidden Entrepreneur Show as the marketing arm for what that is and was. early on, it started as the brand started as me documenting my journey of how I'm overcoming this life of fear, spending 40 plus years hiding everything that I was truly capable of doing, but refusing to do so because I was scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
And now, through this brand and the show, it started as a coaching and consulting company, helping other entrepreneurs work through their own fears, honestly, mm-hmm. as well. Today, it's more about, I don't do as much of that coaching right now, but it's my personal brand, right? It allows me to remain relevant and to get PR and to speak on stages and to be a guest on shows like this and just sort of further validate the identity and the goals of who I am and what I'm going for.
Now, talk to us a little bit about the kind of conversations that you're having on The Hidden Entrepreneur. Who are you talking to? What are the takeaways people are going to take from the episodes as they listen?
One of the great things that I just love about this industry, the podcasting space and having a show, is that it allows you to be as creative as you wish, right? There are really no rules, right?
Yeah.
All you got to do is have a mic and a voice and hit record, and you could literally create whatever you want. No secret, coming from the artistic world, I love that. I love creativity. I love having an open canvas to just say, what could we do here? What could we do today? So I didn't know that having my own show was going to give me the confidence personally to build on. I knew that it was going to be the marketing arm for my business. Fine. But as I started interviewing guests, and today over 160 episodes strong and still going, what I realized early on was that, well, first of all, the reason I was drawn to it is because I thought, you know what, I might actually enjoy this. This might be something that has weight and legs and can go somewhere, and certainly might be something that will create opportunity for me. I have no idea what, but I will keep my eyes out. And it did. It's done so much more of that. So the people I'm speaking to are entrepreneurs who have a really intriguing story to tell and are willing to tell it.
Yeah.
Because what I found that I'm good at is bringing out deep and sometimes personal stories of these entrepreneurs. On more than one occasion, especially early on, what started driving me and giving me the confidence is people would come on and after the interview say, you know what? I've been on shows before, and this was the best interview ever.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, okay, great validation. Thank you. I felt that too, which is how it happened, right? I wasn't looking exclusively for the external like I was. I brought that to the table. So it was a giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So when they said that, I said, yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I felt that too. I will mm-hmm. accept that. I will receive that. And that just gave me the confidence to do more and go forward and push forward and help create the environment and opportunities that I want. So I have that ability to just go places that some people might be hesitant to go and really see a deeper meaning because I lived it, and I'm making it a point to no longer. So I shine the light on that.
Now, out of that, a couple other brands have been born, On Air Brands and Podmax with Eric Cabral, our good friend. And how did that all come about? How did that door open, that conversation start? And you know, I think On Air Brands started first, and then Podmax was kind of birthed out of that. Am I wrong on that, or is that right?
No, you're absolutely correct. So what happened was I'm going about my business as a podcast host. I knew that I'm going to double down. I'm going to go all in the podcast space, and I'm just going to start interviewing and putting out and establish myself mm-hmm. as a voice, as a podcaster, as a thought leader, as somebody with a message. And this is my message, right? This whole thing that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that this is the brand I want to create. I want to get some traction in the podcast space. And I just kept producing and creating these great episodes and, you know, growing myself and learning and building these relationships and opportunities. And last year, I found myself at exactly the same event where you were. You were talking about at Stand Up New York.
Yeah.
Last year, that's where I met Eric. He was a guest on my show. We were both, me and you were featured show hosts at that event. Mm-hmm. So to even be able to be at that event is a whole other story of persistence and right. really finding and knowing your worth. Cause I sort of, I created that for myself. The yeah. opportunity didn't fall in my lap. I chased it yeah. and made sure. And here we are that it worked. So I got to be interviewing Eric randomly, right? There was no yeah. rhyme or reason of yeah. him or I didn't even know. We were just matched that day.
Yeah.
And after the interview, we were just talking outside and we're both from Jersey. And he said, you know what? I have a podcast studio in New Jersey. You should come and check it out one day. And I said, great. Yes, I'd love to. And what's so good about that is if I wasn't the person that I'm capable of being and presenting myself in that light and all the credits and history and the confidence that I brought to that moment, he wouldn't have felt inspired to even connect with me like that or ask me, hey, why don't you come check this out? Mm-hmm. So when you realize the significance of how moments in our lives present themselves or how they might not present themselves or how you position yourself to best open yourself up for opportunity. He was only inspired to ask me that because he saw something legit. He saw something that he could resonate with. There was a vibration, a frequency that we both shared that he was like, yeah, I like you. You should come check out the studio.
Yeah.
And when I did, everything just sort of kept aligning. And certainly here's the proof these days. I just kept showing up and showing up. He had On Air Brands, which was a, now it's more of a podcast production, arm of what we're doing. We produce shows for ourselves and for clients. But he had more of a traditional design agency that sort of parlayed into the podcast space that I became a part of. And PodMax did grow from that. And now it's our exclusive all-day event where entrepreneurs have the chance to come in and record as a guest on multiple shows in their industry.
Yeah.
And we've added some of our favorite aspects to a conference. We have a workshop. There's lots of networking. There's a keynote. And the final piece of the puzzle that really makes this work is, again, I love being able to put myself and my creativity into everything. The final piece of the PodMax puzzle that we realized is so valuable, so important, because really we teach what we need and what we need to know. And we realized that a lot of people coming into the space want to be on shows, have been on shows, but often have not either been on shows or not on enough shows. And they feel a slight insecurity on telling their message. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to say? And am I good enough to be on shows? And will anybody really care?
Yeah.
So we realize that, wow, this is the audience. And this is our, now we have this opportunity to train and teach that element, how to get entrepreneurs to discover their message, be able to deliver their message, and to be able to obtain the discipline to package all that.
Super cool. And I know that PodMax has evolved, obviously, some of it by choice, some of it because, well, the world just isn't the same it was a year ago, is it? And so you've had to evolve and change that. But every step that you seem to evolve it, it seems to be for the better, even in decisions that aren't exactly the ones you want to make. Like, I'm sure that you'd much rather have these be in-person events, but you have to take it virtual. And out of that, you learn, hey, maybe this is an outlet that actually could be better than the in-person events.
The rug was really pulled out from under us in March of 2020. We were at the PodFest conference the week prior, yeah. And there was some murmur and an underlying understanding of what's happening, but nobody really cared or knew the magnitude. We got on the plane, me and Eric got on the plane on the way back, and we literally had 6 or 8 live events. Some we were hosting, some we were set to appear at. On the calendar.
Yeah.
And for for the next foreseeable future, which was fantastic. And then a week later, this happens, and we're like, say what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What now?
Yeah.
So we were like, what do we do here? And it took a few weeks to sort of pick ourselves up and figure out, can this work as a virtual? Should it work? And we tried, right? Which is the most we could have done. And it was, it blew our minds, right? You were a part of that.
Yeah.
And we just thought, this is a happy accident, so to speak.
Yeah.
We took the action we needed to. We didn't sit and maul and fret over it. We made the choice. We had an expectation of what could work, and it did.
Yeah.
And if things didn't, we would have adjusted. And that's the biggest lesson.
When things do change, it's those who choose to pivot, those that choose to find a new solution, that can actually get to a place where what they create reaches more people. And that's what's happening with PodMax Global, is that you're able to reach people that would have never come to Trenton, New Jersey, who would maybe financially they could do the event, but they couldn't do the travel. Or maybe they would just be questionable and saying, is it worth taking a week away from my business? And so because of this, it seems like it's actually opened up the possibilities beyond what you could have imagined.
Yeah. And I think it also comes down to being in the position personally, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, to be open to that. Because the other option is being angry and frustrated and depressed and, dare I say, being the victim, which I was for all of my life. I played the victim. Why does everything always happen to me?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that that was a thing until it came across my radar. And I realized, oh my gosh, that might be me playing the victim. But if you are triggered and you find yourself angry, frustrated, depressed, again, ask yourself, you have the responsibility. If you want the change, if you want better or improvement for yourself, if you're looking for self-improvement, you have to ask yourself, okay, my goodness, why am I so angry at this? Mm-hmm. Why is this upsetting me so much? And if you want the self-improvement, you have to go down there and you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, why am I angry? What's frustrating me here? Why am I so scared? Who am I afraid is going to say what? Mm-hmm. Who do I think I am letting down? Who do I think is going to say, hey, I told you so, or whatever it is?
I was looking here. I had a great quote that I had written down on my desk on one of my notes from something, and it had to do with that whole space of being a victim or choosing not to be a victim. And of course, I can't find it actually on my sheet here, but I think that that's one of the things that we overlook, that a lot of people choose to be the victim of their circumstances or blame their circumstances on their failure when they could have chosen to create that new path like you have. So many people say, oh, the government's killing us with the lockdown. Okay, that's probably true, but you still can respond and change the game. And it's those who change the game, those who say, all right, well, if that's off the table, I can either live here and die here, or I can choose to say, how do we reinvent the game to make it work for us?
You use the word blame, which is so true. I have zero tolerance these days for blaming or complaining myself. And certainly if I hear it, the struggle is just not to get emotionally drawn in to a conversation or a person if they are blaming or complaining, because I've left that world. What keeps me going, along with how would you like to be remembered, is what's written on this coin here. And I know not everybody can see it. So it's a coin that says Memento Mori. And it's this gold coin inspired by the Stoic philosophy. And this translates to mean, remember, you will die.
Mm.
Now, some people think that that's dark and morbid. I happen to think it's light and energizing, because the more that I realize that the inevitable is right around the corner for all of us. And I say right around the corner, even best case scenario, I'm 46. I turned 46 this year, which sort of still freaks and weirds me out because I don't feel it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't act it. But if I lived another 46 or 50 years, this means best case scenario, my life is half over. Mm. So if I die in my mid 90s, nobody's going to think that that's tragic. They're going to celebrate and say, my goodness, that's wonderful. Good. He lived a whole fruitful, long life. That's best case scenario, which, as you know, will be over in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to, I mean, come on. It moves faster and faster. It's over before we know it. Worst case scenario, we know the truth of the matter. It's going to end for all of us one way or another. Any time it can happen. So I like to live with this knowledge of just knowing that should anything happen, should the inevitable happen at any time in my life, I want the last moments that I've experienced here and certainly with my children to be as significant and ideal as possible. So find what works for you to realize what we're doing here in life and what it all means. And stop putting so much weight, so much value, so much emphasis on how is it going to look? What are they going to think? Are they going to care? Am I going to look foolish? We're all going to look foolish. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And we all consistently look foolish in the eyes of everybody else.
I think that's powerful words to leave this segment off with. As we wrap it up, you know, PodMax is an event that I love, and I want others who are maybe entrepreneurs and need to get their story out, or who are podcasters and want to connect with a community of podcasters that will really impact their lives to be able to connect. I want to specifically make sure they know where to find and connect with PodMax. So how do they do that?
I appreciate that, Michael. The website is podmax.co. And on there, you can really get a feel for what the event is, because we keep hearing over and over from the attendees on both sides of the mic, the hosts we welcome, the guest entrepreneurs who experience it. They say, you know, I had no idea really what to expect, but this was magnificent. Mm-hmm. So we are in the process of figuring out how to further reveal what the event is. So the website, we're trying to do the best job we can. You'll see some testimonials, you'll see some videos, you'll get every piece of information you need to help you share your meaningful message as efficiently and effectively as possible, all in one day, while growing your network and learning some great things.
Are they all going to be virtual for now, or are you looking at coming back to in person anytime soon?
Well, we started as the in-person, as you know.
Yeah.
I love, again, everything that I'm doing today certainly seems to tie into my acting and film career. Hey, I need a reason to scratch that itch. It hasn't gone away. I've been bit. And once you're bit, you're bit. So I say that because I've spent time in other industries creating conferences and workshops in the live event space. So I adore that.
Yeah.
We absolutely plan on returning with live events, but we were going to do it, you know, every month or two as we're doing the virtuals now. Certainly easier to come forward with the virtuals. We're going to continue to do the virtuals probably every month, 4 to 6 weeks. And we plan on when it's right, really doing at least an annual big live event.
Super cool. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, it is the dreaded rapid fire questions. We'll be right back with Josh Carey. On the show next week, we are kicking off the week with actor Ben Milliken. He was recently in the movie Mighty Oak. He also starred as Carter in the TV series Bosch. We're going to be talking about the world of acting and a whole bunch more. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure to join that conversation with Ben Milliken next week. Now let's jump into rapid fire questions.
Levez seulement le bras pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque. Mettez le contact, reposez votre bras et attendez. Restez calme.
We are back with Josh Carey. Are you ready for the rapid fire questions?
Well, I don't know. You use the adjective dreaded. So, yes, I am ready.
First question. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be an airline pilot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
For some reason, I was attracted to that. I'm still very much attracted to it. I always say I want to take flying lessons. The missus says, no, you're not. But I feel like I'm just drawn to that for some reason. I love going into the cockpit. You know, yeah. You can still do that today. And yeah. I do. I have the excuse of taking my children there now.
Yeah. Maybe there's a PodMax Global jet line coming to us soon.
Oh, wow. Plant the seed.
What is one tip you'd give someone with a big idea or dream and they don't know where to start?
Well, I venture to say you do know where to start. You don't know where to start. Jot down some of the things that you think need to get done and pull the trigger. Take action on just one of those things. Move the pieces forward. That's the big secret. You hear it over and over again because it's the secret.
What is one change you'd like to see in the world?
Tough question. You know, I don't know if I've given the question. I've heard versions of the question. I don't know if I've given it enough thought to answer it properly.
Okay. All right. What do you want your legacy to be?
Everything I do is certainly no secret tied into being the best I can for my children. But through that, there's the bigger picture. I want to be seen as somebody who knew how to live life through all aspects of life.
Where do you find inspiration?
My children. Children are proof right there that the innocence, it's been said before, but I'm experiencing it and witnessing it firsthand. They inspire so much of what I do.
What is one book you think every dreamer should read?
Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. It's a book of somebody who was on their deathbed, and the author went to visit him before he died every Tuesday and just got a lot of life lessons and wisdom. And I don't think we need to wait until our deathbed to start living like he was.
For you, how do you define success?
Happiness.
What is one trend you are currently excited about?
The embracing of the podcast medium.
What is one habit that is helpful in your life?
Getting up as early as possible, 7 days a week.
What is one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
It'll all work itself out.
If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'd be driving that 757 jumbo jet across the sky.
And finally, what is one dream you are still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
Speak on a stadium stage.
Nice. Love it. Love it. As we wrap up, we always like to leave our guests have a final thought. What would you like to leave all of us with today?
Find your reason for living, because you won't be till the end of time.
Josh, it's always fun to chat with you. Always learn something when I sit down, and just really appreciate your friendship. So thanks for taking time out and joining us here on Jumble Think.
This has been incredible, Michael. Thank you so much.
Once again, I want to thank Josh Carey for taking time out and joining us here on Jumble Think. His links, whether it's The Hidden Entrepreneur, On Air Brands, or PodMax, are in the episode notes. Go check out what he's doing and connect with him and his team. I want to thank you for tuning into today's show. It means the world to me that you would take time out of your busy day to listen to our show. And I hope today's show has challenged you, especially in that question of identity. So often we're hiding from the truth of who we are. My challenge to you today is to step into that created purpose, figure out what you're called and created to do, and then move forward with those dreams and ideas deep inside of you. Until you figure out the truth of who you are, you cannot boldly walk in confidence in the true identity of who you're created to be. So do that today. Spend some time with yourself, discovering a little bit more about you. Now it's your turn to get out there, to dream big, to change the world around you.
ce qui peut vous gêner ou tirer votre attention. Cherchez la meilleure position. Les bras et les jambes légèrement espacés. Étirez-vous doucement, mais complètement. En avant, en arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants, peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant. Dans quelques mois, lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.